the evidence of things not seen. Notice again, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while we read the Word of the Lord. Faith is that which we hope for, the substance of the things that we have hoped for. And he says it is the evidence of things not seen. Now, evidence itself is something that you can detect or something you can sense or something you can see. That's what evidence is. But as far as faith goes, it is the proof. Faith is the proof of the things you cannot see, of the things that you cannot see yet you know are there. I want to preach, if the Lord will help me here for just a little while this morning, on things not seen. Things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. I want to preach on that, if the Lord will help me. Things not seen. Now the world will only believe what they can see. They'll only believe what they can handle, what they can touch, what they can put a scientific formula to. But I'm glad, thank God, that there are some things that we cannot see but are as real as the things that we can see. Amen. We cannot see the wind. We cannot see the air. We cannot see life, love, joy, happiness, hate, envy, jealousy, or evil. But that does not keep these things from existing. They are things not seen. We used to sing that song when I was a boy. Treasures unseen. Oh no, it's not what you see that makes me a king, makes me a king. It's treasures unseen. And the soldiers, because you can't see it, does not mean that it doesn't exist. Amen. We cannot see salvation. We cannot see the Holy Ghost. We cannot see the power of God. We cannot see the guiding hand of the Lord. But they are real. And faith is the evidence of these things. Things are not seen. Oh, I want to say, friend, in fact, not only are these things we cannot see real, but everything you can see is temporal. Everything you can see is temporary. Everything you can see will pass away. But the things that you cannot see, those things are eternal. Those things are everlasting. Those things will never fade away. Thank God. This world and all that's been in will pass away. But I'm telling you, there are some things that are eternal. Matter of fact, even with man being a three-part being, his body, spirit, and soul, I want to tell you, friend, that your body, your mind will pass away. But there's a part of you that cannot be seen, and that will last forever. Thank God. I tell you, the things, thank God, that cannot be seen are eternal. I praise His name for that. So today I must speak on some things I've not seen. Or maybe someone would say some things that are out of sight. Amen. That's one of the phrases that young folks use. Man, it's out of sight. Well, maybe the youngers now don't use it, but they used it when I was younger. Put it that way. Out of sight, man. Let's say it's just out of sight. I want to tell you, friend, there are some things not seen, or some things out of sight, or some things gone from our sight, if you will. So let me preach right there. I want to say, first of all, thank God. I thank God there are some things not seen. But now there are some things I've not seen that will break our hearts. I want to tell you the good and the bad today. First of all, I want to say sinners in hell are not seen. But just because they're not seen does not mean that they're not real. Amen. I want to tell you, friend, I thought this week there's somebody come in the office with a tell about this guy that had known that was on drugs and alcohol and lived his life in so much sin and wickedness and how it was that he beat his wife and mistreated his children and they all left him, and finally one day he went so far as to take his own life. I thought to myself, how sad that a man had lived his life in this world and to die such a tragic death, and today he's gone
And his family doesn't even care. And nobody even thinks about him anymore. And it never crosses anybody's mind. Hey, history tells us a lot about of people of days gone by, but there's a lot more of them that does not tell us about. I'm telling you, they're gone from our sight. They are not seen. But I'll tell you, a hell full of people that left out of this world. And the world forgot about them. But they're still out of hell.
Oh, yes, that's right. And some of them, friend, some of them live lavish lives. Some of them are influential people. Some of them are people of influence. Some of them are people, my friend, of great providence. And some of my friend had the limelight and were out in the open. And while they were in this life, they were on the forefront of men's minds. But after day, they've been dead and gone for years and are in hell, and nobody remembers them anymore. Amen. And they're gone from our sight. And they are not seen. Oh, but they're still real. I'll tell you, hell's still a real place where the real fire that really burns. And real people go there to really spend eternity. Hey, Captain, there's no parties going on in hell. Amen. That's right. There's no buddies in hell. Have no pals in hell. There's no comfort in hell. There's no sunshine in hell. There's no peace in hell. There's no rest in hell. There's no quiet in hell. There's nothing but torment in hell. And real people go, and they've been forgotten about many times. But eternity will find them in hell.
And if they spend a million years there, it'll not change.
They'll never change. They'll never go away. And friend, though they may be out of our sight, hell is still real. And the souls there are still real. Amen. That's right. And though they are things unseen, it does not mean that it is not real. And now there are many cases in the Word of the Lord where God said in 3 verses, matter of fact, in 1 Kings 17, that He would remove them from out of His sight. And my friend, that is a likeness to hell. The northern tribes of Israel were never restored. They were removed from the sight and the mind of the Lord. I want to tell you, friend, we cannot see hell or the sinners there, but it is a reality. And not only are they out of our sight, but hell's the only place where you can be cast out of God's sight. And to remember you no more, He cast you in hell. It's all over with. He sent you out of us. There's no way to get saved in. There's no way to get right in. And by the way, I don't care what the fellow up the road or down the road that wears a dress. And don't believe in getting married, said there is no motel between here and hell for you to stop here and make a decision whether or not you're going to go to heaven or hell. As you leave this life, it's the same way you'll find eternity, and you'll meet the Lord. If you die off, you'll go to hell without help and without hope.
Amen, that's right. I'm preaching on things not seen. I want to say, friend, the souls in hell, the sinners in hell, are not seen, but they are real. Secondly, I want to say those who have strayed from God are out of sight. Many times out of our sight, but they are real. Sometimes we get to the place in life as a Christians where we forget about that one that used to serve the Lord that strayed from God, and he's living in a backslidden condition somewhere out of fellowship with the Lord. And sometimes we don't make those calls and say we sure would love to see you come back to church. We don't make those visits and say we sure would like you to come back to the house of our God. They may be out of sight, but it's still a reality. Many are those whose hearts have been broken by some trouble in the way, and they've laid down the sword and quit, and the there waiting on some good saint of God just to show love and care and concern for them. I'd invite them to come back to the house of the Lord and get things right with our God. Lord, help us this morning to open our eyes and see men, women, boys, and girls have strayed from the Lord, have said they need a hand from the Lord. Amen.
The scripture says, ye that are strong, help those them that are also weak.
I want to tell you, in our lives, so many times we'll say, well, I knew it wasn't real. I knew they really weren't saved. I knew they never really got the real stuff. You know what you ought to be doing? You ought to be down there loving them and telling them the gospel and trying to get them back to God. And brother, if it was not real, if they were not saved, then that's how they can get saved. If to get back to the Lord. Amen. Hear the gospel of the house of God and get things right. Why do you want to mark them off your book? You say, well, they didn't really get it. Well, you're that old sinner out there you hadn't marked off the book. Why do you want to mark that religious man off the book? I mean, trying to get him in the house of God. Give him the sound of the gospel. Let him hear the preached word. Let the Holy Ghost to deal with his heart. Show him that he didn't get it so he can get it anyway. That's right. Those that strayed from God. Amos 9:3. And though they hide themselves on the top of Carmel, I will search and take them out from thence. And though they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea, this I will command the serpent, he shall bite them. I mean, friend, many a times those that strayed from the Lord are out of our sight, but they're never out of God's sight. Amen. He said, though it is that they've tried to hide, or that they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea, then I will command the serpent, and he shall bite them. He says, he's saying here that if we stray from the Lord, that there is no place to hide. You can run, but you cannot hide. You can't go far enough. That God doesn't know where you are. Amen. And he'll send judgment on your life. He'll send trials in your life. He'll send the working of God in your life. And so to try to get you back. That's too long. You may be like Jonah and run to Tarsus. You may buy a cruise ship ticket and kind of sail away and go on a vacation from the Lord. But God can prepare fish. He can swallow you up. He can send a storm. And even in the bottom of the ocean, from the belly of hell cried out, and said, old Jonah, the Lord heard his cry. I want to tell you, if you've turned your heart against God, rebelled against the Lord, and you feel like you're far from God today, would you cry out to God? If he saves you, and when you cry out, he'll hear you again when you'll cry out, and he'll come to where you are, and touch your life, and restore your fellowship. You can pay that which you have vowed, and God will rescue you from the mouth of the devil. Amen. Oh, why can't Daniel you come out and say the Lord has set the mountain alive? Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Out of sight or things not seen. Sinners in hell are out of sight or not seen. Those strayed from God are thinking many times that they've gotten out of sight, and they are out of our sight, or we do not see them. But the Lord knows where they are. I want to say, friend, the saints' enemies are not seen, but they're real. Your enemies are not the things that you see. It's not your wife. It's not your husband. It's not your mother-in-law. Amen. Though it may seem like it is, it's not your mother-in-law or your father-in-law or your son-in-law or your daughter-in-law or that Yahoo that you work with down the job site that's always accusing you and calling you bad names. It's not those things. I want to tell you this. Your enemy's not even the richer crowd or the good crowd. Amen. Oh yes, I know those things fight against you. But they're only tools of your enemy. You've got an enemy that is not seen. You've got an enemy that you battle and you can't put your fingers on all the time. Oh, yes. 2 Samuel 7:9, this is what the word of the Lord says. Have cut off all thine enemies out of thy sight. It's not seen, now is it? That's Joshua 23:4-8. Listen what the scripture says. Behold, I have divided unto you by lot these nations that remain to be an inheritance for your tribe. From Jordan with all the nations have I cut off, even from the great sea westward. Now listen, what happens? They're going into Israel. The Lord cuts off all the nations of Canaan and moves them out and gives the land to the people of Israel. But listen to what he says. And the Lord your God, he shall expel them from before you and shall drive them from out of your sight. And he shall possess their land as the Lord your God has promised you. All right, boy, ain't that wonderful? He's going to take our enemies. That's the same of God. He's going to drive them out of our sight. Woo! We're all going to live in victory. Boy, ain't that wonderful? If it stops right there, everything will be okay. Let the verses go on. Be you therefore very courageous. Now, why do you need to be courageous if the enemies are all gone? The listen to what he says, to keep and do all that. That is written in the book of the law of Moses. That you turn not aside from the right hand nor to the left. That you come not among these nations that remain among you. Now, he just said he wiped them out of their sight. But now he said they remain among you. And neither make mention of the name of their gods, nor call to swear by them, nor serve them. Oh, yes, nor bow down unto them. But cleave to the Lord your God as you have done this day. You see, these nations were driven out of their sight, but the threat of them still remained. I want to say, as a child of God, that you have victory over the devil and victory over the flesh. And though you have received this victory, however, if you don't remain vigilant and courageous, these enemies will attack you again. They may be out of your sight, but the threat remains. I mean, friend, if you're serving God, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. But I want to tell you something. Just because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world doesn't mean you'll always defeat the one in the world, because you'll have to fight in God's strength and not in your own. Just because your enemy's out of your sight, just because God's promised you victory, does not mean you'll live in victory. Not if you're saved from the Lord. You better remain vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, roams about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he seeks the things that remain and are ready to die. Oh, yes. Revive that gift. Stir up that gift that's in you. Oh, yes. For your adversary, the old booger man, the old devil, has got you in his crosshairs.
And it ain't just the devil. It's the devil. It's the world. And it ain't the world you see. Again, it ain't your mama, your daddy, your brother, your sister, your neighbors, your friends, your in-laws, the fellow you work with at work. It's the world. I'm talking about the world system. The cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, and other things entering in will choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful, Jesus said. In your life and in mine, if you're not very vigilant, your enemies of this world, the prince of the power of the air, a principality's power, ruling for the darkness, foods and high wickedness and high places, those things you cannot see, the world is system, that system of greed, that system of attaining things, that system of beating out the Joneses, that system of getting in and belonging and being a part, that system of wonder has been popular and accepted. That system of this world will take you in and have you destroyed if you're not careful.
Well, preacher, all them things you're preaching on, I can't see. That's exactly right. Your enemy of things not seen. Not only Satan, not only the world, but I want to say your flesh. But I can see my flesh, yeah, but you can't see the nature of it. Boy, you can clean it up and look pretty good. I got up this morning, took me a shower, washed my head, got out there and put on some pretty good smelling stuff and all that stuff. Brushed my teeth and polished them up just right, and I smiled in the mirror, put on my shirt and my suit coat, and I looked in the mirror and I smiled and I thought, man, don't you look good this morning? Oh, that's amazing, preacher. Don't work too good again. You didn't see me before I did all them things. Oh, yes, that's right. Some of you ladies don't even recognize yourselves when you take your faith off. Woo! Amen. Now, listen, friend. Every one of us, when we look in the mirror, we want to look our best, don't we? I mean, shine up, pretty up. But I believe y'all do them things, a fella. Now, listen, hey, you can skip out on some things, but you better brush them teeth. I mean, a man that won't brush his teeth is sorry. I'm telling you, brush them teeth and take care of them teeth. Oh, yes. I like people, friend, that brush them teeth.
Get close up to you, the mouth ought to smell good. I can't stand a preacher with stinky breath. You ever notice that? So many preachers got stinky breaths. That bothers me. You want to get everybody want to come on and hug them. And if they were in there wondering after a while, everybody quit hugging on them. Oh, I don't stinky breath. That means take care of yourself. But just about time you look in the mirror, get the face shaved just right, get that beard and mustache trimmed up just right, get the makeup ladies on just right and hair fixed just right, just like you wanted it. Maybe you're not as pretty as what you'd like to be, but you're as pretty as you can be. And you look in the mirror and you think, I'm doing all right. I'm doing pretty good. What lies beneath that thing that you cannot see is corrupt and vile and ugly and wicked. The flesh is at enmity with God. You can pump 50 reps a minute of 225 pounds on your bench press. You can curl until you got biceps the size of Arnold Schwarzenegger. And I mean, have you a 12-pack out instead of a 6-pack? And the Son of Earth has got about an 18-pack. Oh, yeah, for a whole sack full. I'm telling you. Hey, but friend, you can get to the place in life where your chairs only looking good and you have been a surge in the world that's got to get rid of the wrinkles and to perfect this flesh. But if you took all the flaws of the outward man away and you looked in the mirror and said, boy, don't it look good? Even still beneath that beauty lies vileness, wretchedness, ugliness, wickedness, ungodliness in us. The flesh is at enmity with God. Your flesh don't desire to do the will of God. Your flesh is just as much as full of hell as mine is. I mean, it's wicked. The flesh does not desire the things of the Lord. It goes against the things of God. When I try to do good, evil's present with me. You know why? I'm a tote it around. This old vile body. Paul said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? In other words, this thing I'm living in is killing me. Like that old preacher man had died and they rolled his body down the casket in front of the communion table, such as Brother Pulpit, and his daughters gathered around and there's the weeping and the crying and patting daddy's body on the head and they're kissing him and such, and mama's standing there beside him. She said, oh, girl, don't quit caring on so much. You knew the truth about the matter. That thing that you're looking at right there give him more trouble than anything to him. Amen. And that's the truth of all of us. This fellow whose face you're saving every morning, whose hair you're combing, amen, or head you're polishing, whichever way it turns out. I'm going to tell you, that's the man that's giving you more trouble than anything else is. I'm going to tell you, this flesh, we're a battle. That's all flesh, man. It's an enemy not seen. I mean, you don't see the wickedness of the flesh. Boy, I look around this morning. Everybody's looking so good. You all dressed up. But Jimmy come in this morning looking like a preacher or an undertaker. Well, thank God. I mean, he's doodled up like a Philadelphia lawyer. Amen. Sister Shree, you have to start cooking her walking stick just to beat the ladies off of you. All of you come in here looking so good and all doodled up and so pretty and so nice and big smiles on your faces, and I look around and everybody looks good to me. But I know I'm wrong. Because everybody in here is wicked. And I don't mean to talk to somebody. You don't know me that good. But I'm telling you, everybody is. The enemy of this flesh is not in agreement with God. It does not desire to fulfill the Bible. You know why I know that? Because when you see somebody else has got something you don't got, you get jealous of it. And you covet it. You know why I know that? Because yesterday when I swung that hammer and hit my same thumb 3 times, the third time was about more than what I could stand. I'm going to tell you, that's how I know it. This flesh is not in agreement with God. It was when I hit my thumb with a hammer, I'd have said in all things, give thanks.
Christ Jesus, for this is the will of God concerning you. You know what I said? I said, oh, God, I can't take it no more. The flesh is not in agreement with the Lord, is it? Amen. I'm going to tell you, friend, the flesh is not in the name of God. You better understand, though you may see something looking good on the outside, put a nice tie, nice suit on, put on a pretty vest, nice, pretty up best you can. I mean, make yourself look as nice as impossible. A friend, you'll still find that beneath that exterior smooth polish, that inside there is a man of wickedness and ungodliness. And the spirit wars against the flesh, and the flesh against the spirit. They war one against the other. And you better stay vigilant against that enemy.
May not be a fact. Listen, I don't care how long you live. We got folks in the building this morning that's only a few months old, and we got people that's a lot of months old. And some of you have been here since back before televisions and nylon hose, amen, and quadruple bypass surgeries. You've been here longer than all them things. But I don't care if you live to be 400 years old. You still got to deal with this flesh. And the things you deal with in the flesh when you're 20 and when you're 75 is different. But it's still the flesh. My granddaddy told me one time, he said, hey, now that I've got older, I don't battle whiskey and women no more. That ain't what I'm fighting. He said, now I battle the temptation to sit down and do nothing. Now I battle the weariness of the flesh that doesn't want to sit down and take the time and the effort to strain through the bifocals to read the Bible like I need to. Now I battle other things, loneliness and depression and discouragement. All those things still a battle with the flesh. You may live to be 400 years old, but you'll still battle the flesh. There's an enemy you cannot see. But just because you can't see it does not mean that it is not real. So remain vigilant against it. So we're preaching this morning about things unseen or things not seen. Sinners in hell, those saved from God, the saints' enemies. I want to say, friend, the Savior is not seen. But that don't mean that He's not real. How many of you have seen Jesus with a natural eye? If you raise your hand, we're going to count you a heretic. Amen. No man in this life has our Lord Jesus went back to heaven. In Acts chapter number 1, verses 4 through 9, the Bible says, in those verses that He gathered on top of the mountain of Carmel, my friend on top of the mountain, rather on top of the mountain, Mount Olivet with them, and there He was taken away from their sight. After saying a few final words, He begins to rise from them up in a cloud, and the Bible said He was received into heaven all on their sight. I'm interested in where it says a cloud received Him out of their sight. I'm going to tell you, our Savior's taken out of our sight, and just because He's out of sight, does not mean that He is not real. How far away is He, preacher? He's far enough we can't see Him. But thank God we can still detect Him. That's some other senses. He's far enough away we can't see Him. But He's close enough He can hear us when we pray. Woo! Thank God! Just because He's out of sight does not mean He's not real. Hallelujah. Oh, we can't see Him, but thank God, Brother John, we can feel Him through the Holy Ghost. Acts 2 and 3, He went out of sight in Acts 1 and 9. Acts 2 and 3, they felt Him like a rushing mighty wind. I tell you, we might not be able to see Him, but I know I feel Him from time to time. Thank God. I'm like that little old boy that was a fly in a kite, and the kite got so high up in the air that he couldn't even see it no more among the clouds. All it looked like he had was a spool of string and a string running up in the clouds. Old man come by and said, son, what are you doing? He said, I'm flying a kite. He said, I don't see no kite. How do you know it's still up there? He said, well, when the wind blows, I feel a tug on the line. Hey, man. I'll tell you, for the child of God, that's where we are. We can't see him, but I'm glad, Brother Agin, when the wind blows, I can feel a tug on the line. I know he's there because I can feel him in my soul.
Woo! Thank God for the realness of the Spirit. Amen. We can feel Him through the Holy Ghost. I'll say we can hear Him through His Word and through His Spirit. Now, you can't just feel a mighty rushing wind. You can hear a rushing wind. You can't see it, but you can feel it. And you can hear it. Amen. That's 1 Kings 19 said, how you heard? He heard a still, small voice. Aren't you glad for the night when your conviction power has still small voice spoke to your heart and said, son, why don't you get it right with God? Why don't you get saved? Why don't you trust God? You said, I never have had that. Then you never have been saved. I'm thankful for when the Lord made me have a desire, a hunger in my heart to get right with God. And He spoke down into my soul with a still small voice.
No, you can't see Him, but you can feel Him. You can hear Him. I don't say you can taste Him. Can you really? Psalm 34 and 8, you'll taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Why don't you just taste of the Lord? I'm going to tell you, thank God. It's the blessed thing that Jesus saith unto them in John 21, come and dine. Amen. Come and dine. Come and dine. There is the table spread where the saints are gone and fed. And He called to His children, come and dine. Come and dine. Why don't you do like Mephibosheth and slide up under the king's table and eat bread continually at his table? You may not can see him, but you can taste him. He may be out of sight, but that does not mean he is not real. The Savior out of sight. I want to say finally, we walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7. Yet one day, though we don't see Him here, one day we will see Him. It's not a whole lot to speak around here. One of my favorite chapters of the Word of the Lord is the 1 John chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we could be called the sons of God. Lord, He'd have to open you, purify yourself, even as He is pure. Beloved, we are now the sons of God. We're already the sons of God. Beloved, we are now the sons of God. That it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we do know when He shall appear, we shall be like unto Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Now, 1 Corinthians 13, 12 says, we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, we're going to see Him. Every eye shall behold Him. Oh, yes, that's right. We're going to see Him. Even Him whom they pierce, sitting upon the throne, receiving praise and honor and glory. We're going to see Him. Just like He is. Hallelujah. Oh, I want to see Him. Look upon His face. What a day it's going to be when we see Jesus. Woo! I want to see Him. And we're going to see soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. Woo! And John said, and I saw Him. And He laid His right hand upon me and said, fear not. I'm the first and I'm the last. I'm even living in one sin. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. And have the keys of death and hell. I tell you, we're going to see Him. Woo!
Oh, yes. He's not really gone. He's just gone from our sight. Hallelujah. Well, the saints who've departed are out of sight. Things not seen I'm preaching about. Those that's departed are out of our sight. Oh, but it doesn't mean they're gone. Thank God. Started down a hill there on Miller Academy Road this week and just almost pulled into the house. I mean, turned on my blinker, slowed all the way down, almost pulled in the house before I realized there wasn't no granny there to talk to. I had something I once, I'd said it in the Bible and I was so excited about it and I wouldn't pull in and tell her about it. And I thought, my Lord, she ain't here to tell about it, but I'm glad she's not gone. Only gone from our side. Amen. Thank God. That mom and dad, a brother, a sister, a friend, a neighbor, her preacher that you sold out, my friend that knew the Lord that's passed out of this life, they're not gone. They're just gone from our side. You may not can see them. They're still real. And we'll meet them again one of these days. Yonder on the other side, 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but we'll not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you saw or not, even as others that have no hope. Hey, God! Well, faith is a substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. We serve a God as them that have no hope. We have a hope in the Lord Jesus. He said, for we must believe Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive remain unto the coming Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall ascend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive remain be caught up in the air, and together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. They are not gone. They're only gone from our sides. Oh, yes. If you're saved by the grace of God, we'll see them again in another life far better than this. In another land far better than this. We'll see them again one day.
You may not see it now, but the old ship of Zion is about to set sail. You better get on board. Just because it's out of sight does not mean it ain't real. I wish I could remember all of that song the Primitive Quartet sings. It says he went away to prepare us a place. And I can't remember all the verse on it. Where we'd receive him, it says, but he told him, says, tarry here, for he's not gone. He's only gone from our side. Only gone from our side to a city called heaven. Only gone from our side to a city so bright, where the flowers of God are blooming forever. Oh, only tarry here just a little while. He's only gone from our side. That last verse talked about our loss. Our loved ones has gone on to glory. Said that they've all gone away to a better city and a better place. But it said, don't you worry. Just a little while we'll see them again. Because they're not gone. They're only gone from our side. Boy, I'm so glad, thank God. There's a day coming where homecoming will be again. Where we'll never be parted anymore. What a blessed day it'll be. If you're here today and you've never been saved, you don't have a clue what it is I'm preaching about, though. And it's so sad because you can't know. Just because it's out of sight doesn't mean it's not real. Would you believe? Faith is believing what you can't see. That's what that verse about plainly tells us in Hebrews 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's believing in something you can't see.
Somebody said, I can't do that. You believe in a lot of things you can't see.
You can't see the wind. How many of you here don't believe in wind? You're breathing the Lord's air. How many of you don't believe in air? We believe in a lot of things we can't see. Amen. I never saw George Washington, but I still believe he existed. Amen.
Somebody said, you got documents of it. Yeah, I got a word of God told me about Jesus too.
Amen. What you believe, what you trust in Him, what you believe the word of the Lord, say the God in heaven. That'll take that vile, wretched man we preached about a little while ago. Put it far away from him. Wash and make you clean in the blood of the Lamb. And one day you can stand before him wearing the robes of Christ's righteousness and be found perfect in his sight because of Calvary. Would you stand? Maybe you need to come do business with the Lord this morning. I wish you'd come. Amen. Things not seen. Not seen. Or some things that are out of sight. I wonder this morning, would you put your faith in Jesus? You're battling enemies that you can't see and surely can't defeat. But the Lord can help you.
You hadn't trusted Jesus, but the Lord can help you. Could you trust Him? Could you get things right with God?
Somewhere, somebody is praying tonight for a loved one to wander away from the light. They reach in heaven and God is aware and forever is changed in a moment of prayer. Oh, there's power in prayer. Power to bear all that great need is waiting right there. A few words, a child's face, then it's goodbye to despair. Oh, there's power, so much power.
That's
right.
You need to pray with your
child. This
is the Lord.
A bent, broken body is suffering with pain. The doctors have tried, but all hope is in vain. But wait, someone's praying in the midst of the gloom. And all at once, the great vision steps into the room. Oh, there's power in prayer. Power to spare all that we need is waiting right there. Words, a child's faith, then it's goodbye. This power, oh, there's power, so much power. There's power in prayer. A bent, broken body is suffering with pain.
Sister Harmon tell about how it's getting to the place where she didn't know what to do, just go out in the yard, just get down in the garden and talk to the Lord about her need. Well, the Lord's interested in your life, interested in your situation. He cares about what you are going through. He sees your child, knows about it. He knows when your heart's broken for that one that's lost that you care about. The Lord don't intervene for them. They're going to go to hell sure as the world. He knows when your heart broke this morning about somebody that's sick or a sickness in your own life. He knows when you're frustrated and worried and concerned about how you're going to make it through the next day, about the pain that you're facing, about the hurt that's down in your soul. He sees it and he's touched with a feeling of our infirmities. And he himself has been tempted in all ways like this we are. Yet without sin, let us therefore with boldness approach that throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find Christ to him in our time of need. Won't you come? Won't you pray? Won't you cast your cares on the Lord and do business with God today? Please, some more sin.
He is the fountain for a thirsty soul. He
all enough to mend one rose.